It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
All right, a proposed rule change could cut federal benefits for disabled adults. That's the Trump administration. That's what they're considering. If approved, this rule would cut monthly federal benefits meant to support disabled adults and indigent older people who live with family members. ProPublica first reported on the proposed change on April 28th based on information from four federal officials, internal emails, and a federal regulatory listing. The organization analyzed actuarial figures from the Social Security Administration and found that as many as 400,000 poor and disabled people and indigent older people could have their support cut or eliminated. The Supplemental Security Income Program, run by Social Security Administration, provides an average monthly payment of $737 to about 7.4 million people with severe disabilities and to indigent older. And I've said indigent now more than I've said it in the rest of my life.
Yes.
Indigent older people as of early 2026, according to Congressional Research Service. One factor Social Security considers when determining SSI eligibility is whether a person lives in, quote, a public assistance household. For decades, Social Security narrowly defined a public assistance household as one where every person in the home had to receive some form of public assistance. If even one person in the home did not receive such benefits, it would hurt the disabled person's chance of qualifying for SSI. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Programs, or SNAP, was not among the qualifying programs. The proposed rule change would remove SNAP from the list and, again, require all household members to receive public assistance. So if you have an older parent living with you who gets those benefits, this would erase their benefits and, again, their whole financial care would be on you.
I did some rudimentary research on how this is going to affect Wisconsin. And these are very rough numbers. But right now in this state, more than 30,000 adults with intellectual and developmental abilities live with family members. We're talking at home with parents, siblings, loved ones. And here's the part that a lot of people don't realize. About a quarter of those caregivers are over the age of 60. So that means if you have aging parents, as you rightly pointed out, 60s, 70s, even older, and they're still providing daily care for adult children with disabilities, this is something you're going to want to pay attention to. And across the state, about 1.1 million Wisconsinites are actually caregivers in some form. That's nearly one in four adults. And on average, they're providing 26 hours of care every single week, often unpaid, helping take care of those family members through the assistance that they get because of the federal government.
But we didn't vote for this.
We certainly did not. A lot of people did not vote for this, in fact.
But okay.
It's crazy. Crazy numbers.
And again, should we point out the irony that while services like this, proposed cuts to average Americans are coming, there's no shortage of money for an increase in defense spending, ICE, and tax breaks for the wealthiest amongst us.
We talked about that a few weeks ago on the show when the president released his budget for the upcoming year. It was the most unfriendly people budget that I think we've seen in this country in maybe ever, but it was very defense friendly. And here's the thing. I believe our military should have what they need to defend this country. I am not one of those people who is defund this and defund that. I believe that our military, our police forces should all be funded in some capacity. They should have what they need to do their jobs. But at the same time, I also believe people should have what they need to live and take care of themselves.
And both can be true.
Yes.
You can have both.
Yes, absolutely.
So we should try to do it. What other S do we need to know, Jamie?
In other headlines this morning, it turns out we're coming closer to Wisconsin. Open records advocates have landed a major legal victory for transparency throughout the state. In a decision that was released on Tuesday, a Dane County court sided with the Badger Project and its co-plaintiff, the Invisible Institute. This is a Chicago-based journalism organization in their lawsuit that demanded that the State Department of Justice release the names and work history of every certified law enforcement officer in the state. Judge Rhonda Lanford gave this ruling, and Tom Kamenick, who is the lead attorney and founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project, that's a law firm dedicated to enforcing the state's open records law, said, quote, "This decision is a powerful victory for the right of the public to know who has been entrusted with a badge and a gun." The journalism organizations filed the lawsuit in 2023 when the state DOJ partially denied the request for the policing data. The department cited safety and privacy concerns, especially for undercover officers. The data requested would include an officer's name, birthday or birth year, zip code, and his or her work history. In response to that denial, the Badger Project and Invisible Institute sued in 2024. The plaintiffs argued that since undercover officers don't actually use their true names, releasing them wouldn't put them in jeopardy. The state DOJ's 2023 denial was unlawful, the court wrote in the opinion that was released on Tuesday. Citing an earlier decision, the judge noted that law enforcement officers necessarily relinquish certain privacy and reputational rights by virtue of the amount of trust society places in them and must be subject to public scrutiny. That's a mouthful this morning.
That is a mouthful. Boy, I have a problem with...
It's a hard one.
I have a problem with this because there's a reason that some... I think police need oversight. We'll say that right out of the box. I don't think police records need to be available to the public. I think they should be available to agencies and law and, the state to conduct investigations, to conduct oversight, all of that. I don't think you and I need to have access to police officers' information. That is going to lead to nothing but trouble. There's no reason, unless I'm part of a lawsuit, and again, then the law firm would be able to get the information. The state will be able to get the information. You and I don't need to do that.
No.
You know, everybody who's disgruntled because they got a speeding ticket, every lunatic who has some gripe, either real or imagined, can get. I don't like it. And the defense of undercover is really flimsy.
Yes.
Because even if you get a fake undercover name and you have the rest of their information, someone would be able to find out who that officer is. So that defense doesn't hold water for me.
I thought it was interesting that as part of this ruling, as you read through it, and the courts make it clear that transparency for them is what still matters here. I thought that it was interesting they point out that without that type of transparency, we can't track the misconduct. We can't understand how officers move from one department to another, and we can't have fully informed conversations about policing in our communities. And I don't agree with that. I don't think we need to be able to track misconduct. I feel like that should be done at the hands of the government and the people in charge of those departments.
And journalists. I think journalists should be able to get to those records.
And as journalists, you can request that information. Right. That's a request and it's usually a fairly quick process that you go through for journalists. But I don't really need to know why police are moving from one department to another. I feel like sometimes that's done just like anybody else. Maybe you need to move to a different department for your own health reasons, or because maybe you don't want to be on the street anymore. Maybe you want to do more of a desk job. I don't feel like I need to know that. And I think at some point we have to trust our police forces. And listen, I know a lot of people have questions about how police operations are run across the country. But I think at some point you also have to step back and not community police everything too. Because I don't know if that gets us very far. if we're constantly tracking what's happening in our police departments. I feel like this feels like one of those public scanner type things to me, right?
Yeah.
Where you can follow along and
easy Gladys Kravitz.
Yeah.
We don't need to know.
But I think the information should be there for people who absolutely need it. And I think, as you mentioned, journalists, certain organizations, certain departments, they should absolutely be able to get that information. I don't know if all of us need to have it in our fingertips, though.
We do not need the the public does not need certain information. All right, but we need to know why gas prices are going up and up and up. And finally, pardon me, and S, you need to know, gas prices in southeast Wisconsin are expected to spike now through the first few days of May. The main cause is a power outage at the BP refinery in Whiting, Indiana, which is where the Bears will be playing, Frank, a key supplier for eastern Wisconsin. Ongoing labor disputes and seasonal refinery maintenance means there's less backup supply available. Analysts say some stations may raise prices sharply, while others will increase gradually over several days. Now, Wisconsin's average gas price is already up to about $3.93 per gallon, rising quickly from last week and last year. Southeast Wisconsin is going to be hit the hardest, while western parts of the state are seeing lower prices due to a different supply source. Prices could top $4 a gallon in some areas. Global factors are also at play, including tensions in the Strait of Hormuz affecting oil supplies. Experts say the spike could last for weeks before prices stabilize. So hopefully, I took your advice, Jamie, when you said yesterday was supposed to be one of the highest days. I went and filled up. Sticker shock.
Yeah.
Again, I'm like, how does it go up every day?
I'm starting to see photos from around Wisconsin. There are some places at least $4 a gallon. Chances that it could actually be over that before, as you mentioned, we see our prices stabilize. So take care of those wallets.